CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
Hello, it is Sunday, April 19th, 2009. This is CoOptiCast episode 17. I'm your host, Mike Katsifrakis, and I am joined by not one, but two co-hosts this week.
Is this our spot where I say, I'm here?
Yes.
Oh, I'm here. This is Nick Paleo, and I'm back from my what feels like forever break. But reality, it's only been one episode.
And I'm Andrew Hodder, joining Nick this week.
And Mike.
You're joining Mike, too.
So, Andrew is a new voice to the podcast. He hails from our sister website, Colony of Gamers. And how about you give yourself a little introduction?
Oh, geez. About my gaming history, or...
No, how about you just say who you are and what you do?
Oh, that's a secret what I do, but what I do, as far as everyone knows, I'm the features editor over at Colony of Gamers.
Excellent. So, getting right on to things, what you guys been playing this week? Nick?
Well, with the baby in-house, it's been my brand new DSi is my new love, and I popped that open for 10-minute increments of gaming in between crying sessions. So I've been playing a bunch of GTA Chinatown Wars. I actually got to just play the co-op in that the other night, which was pretty fun. It's just kind of like scenarios, basically, not through the story. Picked up Outrun on Xbox Live Arcade. Been enjoying that. Got to finally check out the new co-op zombie map in Call of Duty World at War today. And that's really well done. They actually added a couple new features to the zombie mode and really tightened that up. I dabbled a bit in Demigod, which I think we'll probably end up talking about later on this, but it's not quite a co-op experience, at least not one that we qualify as co-op.
Yeah, I've been playing that too.
Yeah, and finally I've been playing Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway, which is a totally underrated game. Everyone just freaking glossed over it. It came out, I think, in the fall. And if you liked the previous games, or you're a fan of the Band of Brothers series on HBO, I mean, it is just... You know, excellent writing, amazing presentation. The gameplay is a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. So that's cool. That's about it for my gaming.
Okay, Andrew, what you been playing?
This week, as you know, Mike, I've been playing some World of Warcraft.
Yes.
I've been playing a lot of that. I've gone earlier in the week, I played some Horde mode, Gears of War 2. Love running through that with everybody. And a little bit of Fable too, as well. I'm just kind of, it's that time of year when you're going back and playing like titles you didn't feel you've really gotten the meat out of yet. So you know, I've been enjoying a lot of the older titles.
Cool. Well, this week I, as well as Nick, have a DSi, so I've been playing a lot of that. I've been playing some Henry Hatsworth, a very interesting Japanese game called Lux Pain. Some more Phoenix Wright Justice for All. Been playing Puzzle Quest Galactrics on Xbox Live Arcade, which I'm sorry to say does not live up to the first game whatsoever. I really don't like it at all.
Did you actually purchased it?
I did actually purchase it. After all that, been playing a little bit Demigod, World of Warcraft, and Riddick Dark Athena, which is pretty fun. But is starting to get a little long in the tooth, if you know what I mean.
Did you play the first one, or is this your first?
Yes, I did. Okay. I played it before. So anyway, let's move on to This Week in Co-op, our news segment. First off, Valve posted a new blog post on the Left 4 Dead blog telling us about how awesome they are at calculating how players will react in the new survival mode, which is dropping on April 21st. And they go on to prove, without a shadow of a doubt, that they are masters of graphing player activity. This graph they've got going is pretty wonderful. Did you check this out, Nick?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty interesting. You know, it seems to be something that is almost new to this generation of games that like these developers are releasing to public, like the playtesting data graphs and like the heat graphs and things like that. Like we saw it with Halo 3. Bungie right. always releases those heat maps of the levels and stuff, and this was pretty interesting. It was, you know, I mean, it showed, well, it was basically the ratio of spawn length of enemies to length of survival or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But of course, the news that we're all taking out of this was that they finally released the release date for the pack, which is this coming Tuesday.
Yep.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be awesome. So, along with that, we have the Borderlands makeover, to put it kindly. They basically decided that their game looked a little too much like everything else that was coming out these days, and they were really happy with the way their concept art looked, and I think they may have played Prince of Persia. I'm not sure. But they combined their love of their concept art with a style very similar to Prince of Persia, and they stylized everything to look a little more fluid, I think would be a good word for it. Stylized, maybe.
Yeah, it's a little more like gritty.
Yeah. You don't call it cel-shaded, but that's pretty much what everybody's going to call it, and personally, I think it looks fantastic. What do you think?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'd say it's a smart change, because before this, I looked at it and said, you know what, the graphics aren't still hitting where I was expecting, so I kind of like the new look. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very uninteresting. It was just kind of got lost in the shuffle of everything else that was out there.
It did look a little samey. Looked a little kind of like I'd say an outdoor Doom almost, but what I am really happy about is the screenshot that they revealed to everybody shows a box full of guns. And as you well remember, there are 5 million guns in this game.
Did you count how many guns are in the box?
I looked like there were 4, but it may be a multiple-tiered box. So there may be 1 million of these boxes lying around. Who knows? It's wonderful. And apparently the guy with the hood is Mordecai, who Randy Pitchford will not tell us what he does or who he is. He's a man of mystery, an enigma, if you will. So since we're all in agreement that it looks awesome, screw the haters. I don't like people pissing all over something because it looks like a cartoon.
Have you read the forum post about it?
Oh, God, I try not to.
People are ridiculous. It's like, come on, people. It's not, you know, that big of a deal, really.
I know. Does the game play good? Is it fun?
Yeah, does it have 4-player co-op?
Yes. And it's like the Diablo 3 haters. You know, it still looks dark and gothic, but it doesn't, you know, just because there aren't meat puppets and, you know, crucified angels all over the background doesn't mean it's not Diablo.
Yeah,
I mean, the game is trying to do some stuff I've been waiting to see done. So you know what? Wait until it's out. Give it a fair shake. Don't just start hating for no good reason.
Well, sir, this is the internet. People are going to hate for any reason they can get.
Yeah, pretty much.
So our final news story of the week is the announcement of Zombie Apocalypse, which I'm going to sum this up, Nick, and I want you to rate the amount of drool that hits your keyboard on a scale of 1 to 10. It's Smash TV meets Left 4 Dead.
Well, the drool covered the number 1 key all the way to the 0 key, so I think that might be a 10.
Actually, that may be an 11, because the only key you can push is, well, the minus key now.
Wait. So Left 4 Dead meets Smash TV. Isn't that essentially Hunter the Reckoning?
Yeah, but this is it's a lot grander scale, it looks like. Like, it looks like a lot more enemies and stuff on the screen. And
it's also much more of almost looks like a three-quarter top-down game rather than... I'm pretty sure Hunter wasn't. Wasn't it a third-person?
No, Hunter was top-down.
Hunter was top-down. Wow. It looked very similar on the angle, but I don't recall Hunter having half the screen covered in blood at all times like this does. So,
Here's the thing that's going to sell you on the game. I don't know if you read the preview, but they said that the environments are going to play a big part in this game. And one of the examples that they gave, I think it was Joystick that had the hands-on impressions, they said that the level they saw had like a down plane that had a working jet engine, and they were able to like knock the zombies and suck them into the jet engine.
Oh. That's fantastic.
So, yeah.
You know, I think after Left 4 Dead and the zombie mode in COD 5, and you think you get kind of tired of this, but no, I want to play this too now. It's just
zombies are the new Nazis, you know? They really are.
Oh,
I'd rather have zombies than Nazis, and that includes zombie Nazis.
But, I agree. You know,
that's just me. So I'd like to move on to kind of a segment that we'll do every now and then when we have something that we just kind of like to stand on a soapbox and, you know, preach to the choir a bit, but maybe someone will hear our message, someone important, someone in, say, marketing or PR. This week, we would like to pose a question. What defines co-op? I'm going to hand this over to Nick because I have the feeling Nick has a lot to say about this.
You know, I'm going to bring up our, because we have in our show notes that we want to say, you know, does it define or meet our definition of co-op? And what are, here is our definition of co-op. We say a co-op game is a game where two or more players work together to accomplish a goal against AI opponents. Ideally, the game will feature a strong story in which both players take part of it. Co-op can be online, over the internet, offline, same console, etc., etc., etc. We do not consider team-based games as co-op, where players face off against another team of human players. We actually don't have it in our definition, but it's kind of implied, and that's skirmish modes. Basically, it's something you've seen in a lot of RTSs, where you pick your settings, you go, it's maybe you and another buddy versus, you know, the AI, and then it quits, and then you're done.
Yeah, it's comp stomping.
You like to call it comp stomping. It's kind of co-op, but it's not true to the definition of what it is. The biggest thing for me is there needs to be some sort of progression, whether you're progressing through a story, you're progressing your character up, like levels, like say something like Two Human, you know, you're building the levels of your character up, you're gaining items, there's incentive for both players in it. In skirmish modes in games, there's really no incentive. It's like, yeah, it's kind of fun for a little bit, but there's nothing to keep you really coming back.
For instance, Dawn of War 2, the campaign is co-op, but the online versus is not.
Right, and even though the online versus in that has a comp stomp mode, basically, you can, you know, load up three of your friends versus three AI people. You know, it's fine. Some people might want to consider that co-op. I'm trying to think of what the discussion we were having the other day, where, like, you know, do you consider a game like Counter-Strike, is that co-op? And it's like, well, the online part of it, where it's humans versus humans, it's not really. But if you play with bots, maybe it kind of is.
The bots are meant to be humans, really.
Right.
I guess a good comparison, just fitting right down the line you're defining, is the difference between Gears of War 2 Horde mode and Left 4 Dead. One is doing a story. Like, they're both great, fast combat. You're cooperating in a group against AI opponents, but one is showing story progression, and you're building your characters. You're getting better weapons as you go on. Whereas the other one is just, it's a grinder.
I'd say Horde mode is co-op because your progression is you have a goal to get to a certain level. Right? You're trying to get to level 50. You're trying to get the highest score. There's a lot of co-op elements to it where, you know, in a real-time strategy game, it's the best example because it's what happens most. You play the mission and you're done, and that's it. You know you don't get anything from it. Maybe there's a rare case there's leaderboards or something like that, but overall it's just kind of a once and done kind of a thing. I don't know. It's just
something we wanted to complain about.
I guess what's disappointing to me is, like, so we talked about Demigod, both Mike and I have been playing it, and we've been covering it on the site for a while. And the developers, you know, kept using the words co-op and co-op. And Mike got a preview build of it, and he was playing it, and I had asked him about the write-up and stuff. He's like, dude, it's not really co-op.
Yeah, it's not. Don't get me wrong. It's a great Dota clone of sorts, and it's really fun, and it's really well put together, and I really like it, but the only co-op in it is comp stomping, and that doesn't fit the definition of our site. And I will give this game all the press I can give it because I think it's a really awesome game, and I really like what they've done, but it's not a fit for what we preach over here.
Yeah. Like it kind of reminded me of, I guess, when I saw it, at least, it almost directly reminded me of, I believe it was Dark Legions by Silicon Knights back in the early 90s. Uh-huh. It was the same, like, two fantasy armies, you know, basically coming across a board at each other, and they're one-offs. Like, it's a one-off match. Either, you know, computer person, doesn't matter. You know, there's no progression.
We've been having this argument, too, with another big one that keeps coming up for us is sports games.
Mm.
The past 2 years, EA Sports has done a really good job of creating some interesting modes where basically you create your player and then you can go online with other people and you play as that created character in, you know, in games, whether it's soccer or hockey or, you know, whatever. And that character gains experience basically and earns skills and things like that. And it's very co-op. What EA Sports does, too, is you never even talk to the other team. The other team may be humans. It'll fill in AI guys if they don't have enough people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you never, you don't really know. You never even talk to them. The only people you talk to is your teammates.
Okay.
And we get a lot of tips emails from people saying, hey, you know, you don't have FIFA 09 listed or NHL 09 or whatever. And it's like, you know, we teetered back and forth. And it's to some people, I can see how it is co-op. And you know, there may come a time when we just do at it, and we might as well cover it. It's a really good experience. You'll see later on in this show, we're going to talk about GTA Chinatown Wars, and that does something a little bit different with co-op, where it's like, it's not your traditional co-op in a sense, but I call it social co-op.
It's a bit of a slippery slope, because if we start adding stuff that starts coming closer and closer to the line between more of a team-based game and a co-op game, we're going to have to start adding MMOs into the mix, and I know that's not something we want to do, because that's as co-op as an MMO is, and believe me, we acknowledge that completely. MMO news is its own genre of site, and that's well covered already.
Oh, it's saturated, yeah.
So anyway, I'd like to get off the soapbox for a little bit, because the air's kind of thin up here, and I'm having a hard time breathing. You may notice a pattern in the Co-Opticast whenever we have a third man. They're usually here because they did something. Not because we like them so much, but they did something for the site, and we want to have them on to, you know, talk about it and, you know, make us look better. So, Andrew...
Yeah.
...is a lovely friend of ours who took a trip up to Montreal to see Army of Two, the 40th day, for the community day that Electronic Arts puts on. You may remember one of those for Lord of the Rings when I went last year. They're pretty good at doing these and getting the community involved. And would you like to tell us what you saw, or what you can tell us anyway?
Yeah, I've tried to, you know, check through my my various what I can talk about right now stuff. essentially, you know, we went in for the game demo at that point, part of it. It was a good amount of time. We spent, I think, at least an hour or two just watching Matt Turner there, producer for the game. It was hands-off, but we got told, you know, he was playing quite in-depth into the game, showing us how the gameplay itself works, running through the single-player story. And, you know, we got to see I think it was the AI buddy going, because he didn't have a second person playing with him, but, you know, you get the same idea. We got to see the introduction of the game, which is, I think, already kind of public knowledge that the two guys are in the city of Shanghai on a mission, and you suddenly have, you know, everything go wrong at one point near the start of the game. This 40th day movement shows up and starts attacking Shanghai, where, like, the buildings are exploding all around you, there's jet fighters going by, everything's just going to pieces, like, the whole city is under some kind of siege. And your guys have no clue what's going on, so, you know, we're seeing that unfold in the gameplay and the story as the guys are trying to figure out what to do. And it's kind of neat, because when you first are running into the enemies, they don't know why you're there either. So, you know, your two guys kind of bulked up with guns and stuff, but you're not in any official uniforms or anything. So you get to kind of play to that in some parts. I know in the one segment we went through, he surrendered, like, came out arms up, like, oh, no, I'm, you know, I give up, whatever you want, and What meanwhile, you see his buddy's little camera appear in the corner, and he's aiming up a sniper shot on one of the 40th Day Movement guys' heads, and you can just time it perfectly, work with your partner to abuse the situation, so to speak, where, you know, as long as one of you is visible, again, it's doing the army of two, where one guy is taking the attention away so the other one can plan whatever your move is going to be based on the situation. The gameplay itself, I don't know, looked perfect. Looked like they learned a lot from everything that's been good coming out in the last year or so, and said, you know what, yeah, that's the way to do that. Let's take, you know, our system, which was fine, but that's better, so let's just improve. You know, you're getting all the almost the genre of games building on themselves, and it's it looks like they've got a lot of improvements. I don't know if I can really speak into the details, but it's pretty nice. It's coming together very nicely. One of those games you see it and you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna buy that. You know, as long as they just keep moving out from here, it's looking good.
Is it going to satisfy our need for the high five button in Resident Evil 5 that we were claiming that we needed?
We did not see any fist bumping, any of that. Now it's all in there apparently, but I don't think they wanted us to focus on that quite yet. But I know they were really talking about keeping the humor there still at the same time. That, you know, it's a bit of a darker game than the first one. The first one was kind of like, you know, the fight areas were a lot more clean, let's put it that way. This is a, and I know it's so cliche to say it's grittier or it's darker, but, you know, they're trying to go at that angle. So some of the humor, I think, it's getting that black humor going on now. But I'm sure that there's going to be some fist bumping going on. I don't know. We joked with one of the producers and said, you know, you need a whole create your own fist bump, like you and your buddy. You just make your own specific fist bump, and he's laughing. So
handshake.
Who knows?
It's kind of like the playlist for your stuff in 50 Cent.
Yeah.
That game had it. You could set up your melee kills were.
I'm
just saying. You could learn a lot from 50 Cent.
this thing actually had a lot of contextual stuff where, depending on the situation and what the mission is, you got like a totally different ways to approach it and even handle it, because they had like morality in there. They had they didn't talk about what it was going to be or what it involved, but for example, if you went into a situation and there was three guards and one was like a senior guy, and they had some hostages, you could go in guns blazing, kill the bad guys, try and save the hostages, or you could sneak up on the one in charge, hold him hostage, and get his other guys to surrender and handcuff them and leave them all alive and rescue the hostages. And they didn't say what that's going to, you know, be, but down the road, apparently in the game, it has outcome changes. So there is some kind of morality they're adding in. I did like, especially too, when they were holding the one guy hostage for the other two to surrender, he kept kind of getting fussy and struggling. And whenever he did that, you could hit the one context button and you're just smacking him in the head with your pistol, telling him to shut up. And so it's all a little mini game, you know, keep him down while the other guys are being handled. But even stuff like negotiating, like you get side missions offered to you. You know, and you can actually determine how much you want to get paid for that and haggle price, or just do it for free, you know, whatever you want. And that, I know they did mention that even is going to be in the co-op, where if you and a buddy are both playing and you get the call saying, hey, do you want to do this job for X amount of money, whichever one of you two decides first and hits the button, that's who goes. So if you're playing with a jerk and he wants to mess around, he can make both of you play you know, do a mission for free or something. So they're kind of tying in some stuff like that for the co-op as well. It's gonna be one to keep an eye on.
How did it look graphically? I heard that it looked some of the previews that it was looking really good.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, it was nice. The shading, especially, I noticed the shadows. Probably, I'm trying to think of another game that I really noticed them that much in a while now. Yeah, no, graphically, I mean, it's nailing the look of the area. Even the audio was dead on. You know, there's a few little things here and there. You're like, oh, they're probably going to touch up that sign and make it a little bit nicer. But all the actual modeling, beautiful looking. The animations on the characters, that actually was something that stood out to me. They really made it fluid now. Moving between, again, more contextual stuff, like, you know, the little touches, you're running up the stairs and your feet are actually landing properly on the stairs. And if you stand on them, you know, whatever. And when you're behind cover, like, it slides you in properly if you're running into cover or something. And it just, everything looks bang on. Even when you're taking cover, your guy's leaning into a wall on the proper shoulder. You can flip which side you want to look out on cover on, and it'll all move between it seamlessly. So it was, graphically, it looked great. There was no problems there.
Cool. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
We went into some stuff for how the multiplayer is going to be as well outside, and we couldn't get too many details on that right now because a lot of it's still being hammered out, I think, on their side and, you know, whatnot. But it sounded like there's a lot of thought going into the online multiplayer, not just the co-op, but co-op multiplayer, like, the first game had it, where I guess you could do fights of two on two, like you and a buddy against another guy and his buddy,
yeah,
playing online for missions. So I think they're going to be building that quite a bit as well, the online experience.
Yeah, sounds great.
One thing I know they wanted me to note, if you have a save game from the first game, they're going to be adding something in for that. So that's there you go.
Cool. And so we're gonna have something up on the site this week sometime from that. Right, and then some more stuff. May 1st, you said the embargo lifts?
Yeah, I think it's around May 1st I can get into all the details of more of what I saw. And cool. Yeah, I think there's going to be a trailer they're putting out of some sort on Game Trailers TV on April 30th or something. So after that's out, we'll probably be getting more details out to the public.
Right. Excellent.
Well, that sounds great. I look forward to seeing what you write up for us.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break now, insert a commercial for one of our sister podcasts during the Colony of Gamers Network. So we'll see you on the other side.
Not feeling like a big enough nerd? Is your comic book knowledge below par?
Well, this doctor prescribes 1 to 2 hours of comic discussion weekly from Johnny Gigawatt and the Tiger Men from Mars.
Get your Tuesday dose from Sam Bambino and the Funk Doctor.
It's like an action movie bonanza for comic nerds. Coming to you nearly live from JohnnyGigawatt.com and the mighty planet Red Mars.
And we're back, and we're going to have our 5-minute game review this week. It's for Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars. Nick, take it away.
Alrighty. So, first off, don't buy this game solely on the co-op. I can tell you that right now. But buy it because it's a freaking awesome game. So that's my little plug for that, because the NPD sales numbers came out this week and it completely bombed. It was didn't even hit 100,000. And so, everyone's up in arms over it and stuff. And the game really deserves some loving, especially if you're fans of the original GTA or GTA London, the top-down ones. Because the new game returns to those roots. It's a top-down game for the Nintendo DS, and you take the role of an incoming gang member into Chinatown. You're meeting up with your uncle because your father, who was one of the leaders of a triad gang, was just killed. And so you're bringing this family sword to your uncle so he can assume the role as the leader, and You lose the sword as soon as you get there, basically. You get attacked right from the get-go, and you lose it. And so basically the goal of the game is to get it back. The really cool thing about Chinatown Wars is there's just a lot to do. Just like any other GTA game, there's you can play without ever doing the story, basically, right? You can there's a whole drug trading meta game in it, and so what you want to do is you want to try and buy drugs at a cheap price, and then find somebody that needs that drug really bad, and then sell it for a high price. So that alone is a game in itself that's completely addictive. And of course, they have things like collecting rare cars and other things like that. The co-op in the game comes in two forms. The first is kind of this little social co-op thing, and this is available locally and over the internet with the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. And the way it works is, as you're going around and you're finding these drug dealers and points of interest, maybe you find a weapon stash in a dumpster, or you know, you find an interesting mission or something like that, you can actually add favorites to your GPS. You have like your bottom screen is like basically a PDA through the whole game. So you can add these favorites. And in the social co-op thing is you connect up to a friend and you can actually send your whole list of favorites to them so they can see where some of these things are. And it's pretty interesting because, like, you know, maybe somebody's looking for a specific dealer, or, you know, they need to know where all the gun locations are, or later on there's these hidden things called Golden Lions after you beat the game that actually unlock more missions. So you can send those locations to your buddy. And there's actually a whole, basically like a text messaging system built into that. So there's this kind of social co-op aspect of that. The other thing you can do there is you can actually trade the drugs, and you can trade guns and whatever else you want for money or whatever. You can do a mix and match match thing there. So if you know, maybe your game right now, weed is like really cheap to buy, and in your friend's game it's really expensive to, you know, there's a great demand for it, so you get a lot more money for it. You can kind of like work something out with your buddy and get a lot of money from that. So it's pretty interesting. The money can be used in the game to buy things like, you buy more safe houses and the vehicles and better weapons and stuff. There's a chainsaw in the game, which is freaking amazing. 8-bit pixel blood in a chainsaw is just so satisfying.
Awesome.
So the other co-op mode is available only locally. And it's kind of similar to one of GTA 4's co-op missions. I can't remember what the name of it was. But this one's called Defend the Base. Basically what you have to do is it's just you and another person, and there's three vehicles that you have to defend from onslaughts of gangs. And if they come and they successfully blow up these other vehicles, you know, you lose the mission. The cool thing about it is there's six scenarios of it. You can pick the length you want to go, and the difficulty. You can turn friendly fire on and off. And the vehicles range from like helicopters to fuel trucks to sports cars and things like that. But you'll pick up money and weapons and stuff like that, and that stuff can transfer back to your game then. So there's some incentive there. Like I said, overall, you're not going to be wanting to buy it for the co-op mode, but I still can't recommend the game enough. It's a ton of fun. It's really easy to play. The missions, you know, only last a couple minutes. It's pretty easy to get through. There have been some really interesting types of missions. You know, it's only like $30. It's a full-featured GTA. I mean, the entire city of Liberty City is in it. There's no loading screens. You know, nothing. It's pretty impressive.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And it also sounds like it's going to be your Valkyria Chronicles.
Maybe.
The great game you think everyone should play that sold like crap.
Yeah. Though nothing's going to sell as bad as Valkyria Chronicles.
I know, and it makes me so sad. So anyway, I'd like to move on to the question of the fortnight. This week, we didn't have too many people write in for a podcast question specifically, and we will go over how to do that a little later on in the show. But Kat posted a pretty good topic in the forums that I thought would be fun to get a little bit of discussion on, where she asks about specifically remakes from the GameCube area, like Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes, and Resident Evil. And she goes to talk about how they were pretty well received, and everybody seemed to enjoy them. And she puts the question out, what would you like to see remade? And I thought it would be fun for everybody to give a little input on that. So, Nick, yours looks pretty interesting to me, so let's hear it.
Yeah, you know, I had a hard time thinking. I was like, you know, everyone can like has like their old school favorite RPG or action game and stuff. I was like, what's a game that we really haven't seen anymore? Like the kind of like a genre or one that kind of was outside the box. And the one I thought of was General Chaos for the Sega Genesis. If you guys remember this game, it was like you picked a little team of three guys, and it was like a little action strategy scenarios and stuff. And I thought it'd be pretty interesting to see what the what Triumph could do with it. Those were the guys that made Overlord. Because the game kind of needs to not be so serious. Like, Overlord didn't really take itself too seriously, but it still had great style to it and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'd like to see what somebody could do that, remaking that, even as, like, an arcade game. I think it'd be a perfectly Xbox Live Arcade PSN kind of a game.
Hmm. Cool.
Did you guys ever play it? Do you remember General Chaos?
No, I don't, but you mentioned Triumph and Overlord, and those guys, I didn't put this as my answer, but I would love to see another Dungeon Keeper game.
Oh, God.
And Overlord had kind of the same vibe to it as Dungeon Keeper did, so I think that would be a good studio.
Molyneux actually still owns the rights to Dungeon Keeper.
Yeah, well, Bullfrog doesn't exist anymore, so...
Doesn't mean he can't make it.
I know, but... His team is going to just make another Fable.
Well,
they're going to make Fable 3.
They have another game in the works that they haven't announced that's not Fable 3.
Okay, well, maybe that's Dungeon Keeper. That would be great. Andrew, do you have an answer for this one?
Well, first thing, I just wanted to make a comment about the question, because Metal Gear Solid, the Twin Snakes remake on GameCube, personally, I loved it, but I would not say it was accepted very well. There was a lot of people who beefed on that. In fact, I think Kojima said some stuff about it, and there was a whole drama, you know, him and Dennis about, the part where Snake, I believe, jumps off of a moving missile kind of pissed some people off. So, but anyway, to the heart of what the question was asking, though, I actually already recently had my, one of my favorite remakes get done. I don't know if you guys used to play it, the adventure games from the Sierra era.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you remember Quest for Glory 2?
Yep.
Yes.
That got remade just recently by AGD Interactive, and it is fantastic.
Interesting.
You're going to have to point me to this, because I'm a huge Quest for Glory fan, and I've never heard of this remake.
Oh, I follow these guys. They brought out a King's Quest remake. Was their first project, and then they said, okay, well, let's do King's Quest 2, but they got so much fans, like, jumping on them because they did such a good job at the first, they ended up making, like, they just put more content in the game. They made new quests, new people, new areas, and the King's Quest 2 thing, I think it ended up being, like, it was ridiculous. It was like there's another two-thirds put onto the game. And it was all amazing. And they, you know, music's redone in high quality now, and they recomposed that. They had a CGI intro added in.
Wow.
All the artwork was done in that VGA style of the later Sierra games with the mouse interface. And then they had announced after that, okay, we're going to do Quest for Glory 2, because it's the only Quest for Glory game that never got VGA treatment. And
you're right. It pretty much stayed in its lovely 8-bit color.
That's right. So they took it, and they worked on this thing for, like, I think I followed it for 4 or 5 years. They, you know, occasionally they'd post an update like, here's a new screenshot, and yeah, we're still on it, and here's, they had like status reports of how far they're getting done, and then just a couple months ago, I think it was, it got finished and released, and actually, it isn't a couple months ago, it's probably released back at PAX, come to think of it.
Crazy.
But at any rate, it is just, yeah, if you loved Quest for Glory, I think the site's agdinteractive.com. And you just download it.
Cool.
Go for it.
Yeah, that's reminded me. My favorite Sierra adventure game was the first Gabriel Knight, and I would love to see a remake of that one. I could talk about remakes all day, but let's move on to my answer, because I really like mine. I really like yours as well, and Nick's. But mine's kind of a pet project that I wish would happen, and I would do it myself, but I'd get the pantsuit off me. But I'd love to see... Vanillaware. If you don't know who that is, they're the team that made Odin Sphere and the upcoming it's Muramasa the Demon Blade for the Wii.
Yep.
And they are the absolute best team doing 2D stuff out there these days. Their artwork is gorgeous, and the sprite animation they do is really incredible. And I would love, instead of getting these chunky like the Chrono Trigger port, yay, I love Chrono Trigger to death, but it's just basically they moved the ROM onto the DS and resized the screen.
Yeah.
So it's a minimal amount of effort. And the Final Fantasy remakes they've been doing lately with 3 and 4, they're cool, but they're just kind of chunky 3D. But I would love to see that team put together something like a Chrono Trigger or a Final Fantasy VI, or hell, maybe the Final Fantasy VII remake that everyone wants. Make it a 2D game. That would blow people's minds. I think something like that would be pretty awesome, and probably not well-received, but this is my wish and not anyone else's. So I'd like to say that that's what I want.
Actually,
and that I would also
I would like to
hear what Andrew is about to say.
I would like to take your wish, and I'd like to use it to reverse time and stop Square from releasing that Final Fantasy IV DS 3D remake. That got me so angry, I can't even look at screenshots of it. I'd like to take the Odin Sphere team, Vanillaware, and let them redo Final Fantasy IV. Thank you very much.
And I would like to take your time machine and go back in time and kill Tetsuya Nomura. Okay, maybe not kill him because he's probably a nice dude, but you know, just maybe cripple his drawing hand or something, because I'm tired of zippers.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of zippers and spiky hair. It's time for change we can believe in.
Exactly.
So, with all that ranting, I'd like to wrap up the podcast because, well, Andrew's got to go and it's getting kind of hot in my little recording studio. So, we've got some upcoming co-op releases on the 21st. In addition to the survival pack for Left 4 Dead, we have Dynasty Warriors Gundam 2, which is stompy, stompy giant robots, you know, punting millions of little brain-dead AI enemies, if it's anything like the original Dynasty Warriors series. And Dynasty Warriors Strike Force is coming out for the PSP on the 28th, which is the same thing, except back in China and on the PSP. And we also have Space Invaders Extreme on the Xbox Live Arcade.
I have that on my PSP, and I love it.
Yeah, I have the DS version, and it's amazing.
Yep.
We posted a video of that with the new four-player co-op mode, and it just looks crazy.
Should be fun.
Yeah.
As you well know, we have plenty of awesome content at cooptimus.com. For instance, in the past 2 weeks, we have reviewed the co-op mode of The Dishwasher, Dead Samurai, Alien Hominid HD, Burn Zombie Burn, and we gave a hardware review of the DSi, thanks to Nick. We also have many features. The Ghostbusters interview that we did for the 360 and PS3 versions of the game went up. We had a guest article for co-op couples that's pretty awesome, so you should check it out. And our Games for Windows co-op night for April has been announced. We're playing Call of Duty World at War. It's on the 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we know that you love us, and we love you. We love everybody that listens to the podcast, but some of you aren't doing your homework. We would really, really appreciate it if you get our podcast off of iTunes, if you could leave some feedback. It would help boost our rankings, get more listeners, and maybe help us get more awesome stuff to give away on our Twitter account, where you can follow us. We are called Co-Optimus without the dash. We post all the news. We follow everybody that's a co-op gamer. And we oftentimes, well, we did it once, but we'd like to make it more.
Actually, I've done it a couple times.
Oh, you've done it a couple times
now.
Yeah,
since the Xbox Live Arcade stuff went up on Amazon, it's really easy for me to get codes. So I think I've given away a couple Geometry Wars 2 codes on that.
Excellent. Well, we give away Xbox Live codes, and, you know, following us on Twitter is not very hard to do, and it might get you something free, and everyone loves free stuff. So, I mentioned earlier that we didn't get too many questions regarding this week's podcast, and I would like to change that. So, we created a new section of the forums on cooptimus.com, specifically for the Co-Opticast. We have a mega thread for the question of the week. We do weekly threads for the podcasts, and You know, if you'd like to give us some more direct feedback and tell us either how awesome we are or how much we suck, you can do it there. It'll be fantastic, and we'd love to have you. So, with all that said, I'm Mike, and for Andrew and Nick,